you. Our topic this afternoon is being childlike. And I think the world is less and less childlike as time goes on, so I think this is important to us. It's really a little study in the first five verses of Matthew 18. And here the apostles, his disciples, are questioning Jesus. And we'll start out by reading verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Now, unlike me, Jesus knew how to effectively react to circumstances and the statements of others so as to bring about the best possible effect upon those listening. Word in season. He was very good at that. Sometimes the reaction was quite harsh, we know, as in the, as when he might be talking to the Pharisees. Other times he was very gentle and encouraging, but he knew his right delivery and the right message and so forth. It depended on what his audience needed. Jesus knew that. He could read the heart. And so here, his reaction, which we're going to look at in the next verse, will be in between these extremes. He's talking to his apostles. How Jesus reacts to this question will show the disciples that they needed to be embarrassed a little in order for them to see their true condition of heart, which is, of course, the thing most valuable in the Lord's eyes and in God's eyes, our heart condition. And this question indicated they didn't have the right condition of heart. So here's how Jesus responded in verse 2. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. Now, so he's using a visual aid, you might say, by just picking up a child and say, here, as if to say, consider this little child. Consider the qualities of a child. I want you to think about this, disciples, based upon this question that you asked me. And you and I can put ourselves in that situation, and we know all about children. We have some experience being children, most of us, and we know the qualities that they have. And you yourself could make a list. Well, I have made a short list here of qualities of being childlike, and it's an incomplete list. You could add to it. But I think this is an example of the kind of qualities that we think of when being a child. They are, of course, innocent. They have this natural curiosity about them, and so they're very teachable. And they are reliant on others, and they're trusting because of that. They're simple. They're guileless. They are non-judgmental. They're taking things in rather than making judgments on those things so much. And, of course, they're humble. One of the greatest attributes any human being can have is humility. And all of these are natural in a child. And so he was saying to them, look at this child and think of those things. And so what I want you to do is ask, he's holding this child for all of us to see. Because really, he's not talking just to the disciples. He's talking to everyone who's following his disciples throughout the age. He wants us to think about what a child means, what it means to be a child. Okay? So now, in verse 3, Jesus actually puts an obligation on them and us. In verse 3, he says, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So he's putting the obligation of, this is assuming that we are not childlike. It assumes that we have to change. Jesus is making the statement to them and us that you children have this quality naturally, but we lose it. Therefore, you need to revert back in your attitude in regards to those different qualities. It obligates us. he actually gives us a prerequisite to attaining our inheritance with Christ. We have to become in our attitude, in our heart condition, those qualities and others that will make us ready for the kingdom of heaven. There's our qualification right there, according to Jesus' words, by implication. Now, to start us out in understanding this, I'd like to have what Brother Russell read in a reprint article I missed verse 4. Verse 4 reads, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." You know, there are certain times when Jesus does not answer questions directly. But here he does, by giving the prerequisites of how we qualify for the kingdom and saying, to the degree that you can do that, you're going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That was their question. Who's going to be the greatest? Well, here's the prerequisites to do it. We'd like to have this reprint article read now at this time. This is from reprint 5130.
Jesus, calling to him a little child, set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye turn from the spirit of self-seeking, which your question implies, and become as little children, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. You will have no part in it. You will not be fit. Whoever would be greatest in the kingdom of heaven should therefore become as humble as this little child." A little child, unsophisticated, is ready to acknowledge its lack of wisdom. It asks questions, 1,000 a day, perhaps as many as that in an hour. It seeks instruction. It does not profess and boast wisdom or knowledge. It is candid. It is truthful. It is in later years that it learns from its parents and others untruthfulness, pride, bombast, and various qualities which it did not possess at first. It may have possessed the disposition to pride and arrogance and haughtiness and so forth by heredity, but at first it was guileless and as a little child. The Master's lesson is that whoever would become a child of God and be taught of God and be eventually developed as a child of God for the glorious position in the kingdom to which we were called must become childlike, must turn away from all pride, from selfish ambitions and hypocrisies and pretensions. They must confess their littleness and ignorance and go humbly to the Lord for the necessary instruction. Any who refuse to adopt this proper childlike spirit will thus be refused the opportunities of the kingdom, for God will have none others. None others can be taught of God. They will not learn the lessons necessary under the arrangements of this present time. Here then is the standard of simplicity and artlessness which the Lord's people should adopt and should continue to allow to control them, regardless of their years and experiences. Now we know in part. We are dependent upon our Father and His instructions. We have entered the school of Christ, our elder brother. He is our instructor. We must learn of Him, and to learn, we must be in this proper childlike attitude of mind.
As with any scriptural admonitions and those made by those commenting on them, it is sometimes easier said than done. And in thinking about this quality of being childlike, we perhaps I'm offering as a suggestion a way by which to see the matter more simply. By asking ourselves a question of whose children are we? Because the question of being childlike could be watered down when we don't consider who we belong to, so to speak. And so when the answer I think that would come from this question in most of us is the fact that we are our Father's children, which of course makes a big difference because being a child, first off, implies that you're looking up to someone. You're looking up, you're dependent upon someone, you're looking for guidance and leadership, you're looking for your sustenance, and that is who we do that to. But this can be confused because if we don't look to that source, then we simply might be childlike simply according to the world's standards. And then we would be missing Jesus's point, I believe, because he, or maybe perhaps we're being childlike just for the sake of being childlike. You see, then we're opening ourselves to absorbing and becoming like the world because we're looking up to something that comes out of the world. Jesus is rather speaking to the new creature, to whom old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new, as Paul tells us. And one of the things, new things we have is a new Father. We have a new Father who begot us to this new life with its new spiritual vision and new privileges and new opportunities and really a new reason for living. And so going back to verse 4 then, when he says, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." He is saying, with all those new things that you have, you're really starting fresh. Forget the old man. Be like this child, because only with that disposition can you absorb the things your Father wants to teach you, so you can become what he wants you to be, so that you can be fit for your position in the kingdom, in the body of Christ. So if you can completely subject yourself to that kind of change, you can be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So he gave them and us the criteria by which to become great in the kingdom of heaven, just by simply picking up that child and teaching by example. So our Lord was the greatest teacher, the teacher of God's word and God's mind. And so I'm reading John 1:12 from the NAS. Says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." If we can fully believe Jesus' teaching on this subject of what we've stated, then God himself will recognize us as his children. God will recognize us as his personal children if we can accept Jesus' teaching on that. That's a lot to grasp, really, when we think about how important it is to be a child to the Father. It's a lot to be grateful for. So let us sing in appreciation, too. If the choir would come up forward now. We have chosen two selections out of the Camp Song book. The first number is entitled, "Be Ye as Little Children." And it really speaks to our subject in a way that otherwise might be a little heavy. So we will turn this session over to Brother Sebastian.
Trace the pattern carefully.
and like being a child, we somehow blunder into things and make mistakes till we learn. Our next number is one entitled Give of the Best of Your Master. It is also from the Camp Song book, and it is closely related because when we become, it follows in harmony with our theme, really, because giving our best implies we have submitted ourselves to the conversion Jesus spoke of in our verses. So then what we have to give is then more directly from the heart, because we've converted from being dominated by the old man into a new creature, the thing our Father begot us to. And if the children, if the God of the universe is willing to be our Father, it's vital for us to act as his children and show our appreciation and therefore give him and our Lord the best. This is where we left off, really. Whosoever shall therefore humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. But really, I think it's an incomplete picture. And I want to explain that. And the next verse helps to begin to understand that. In verse 5, Jesus says, "And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me." And I think this verse completes the picture, and let me explain why I think that. It is because each of us may or eventually have an individual relationship with our Heavenly Father. And that's the best relationship that we could possibly have. But the world does not simply revolve around the fact that individually you or I may have a relationship as a child to the Father, because we have all these other children who are also having individual relationships with the Heavenly Father. Therefore, every child has an obligation to recognize the fact that we are all children and that we all have the same Father. This touches on it because we each are receiving each other in the prescribed way to come into that family. And I will call it a family because we are, if we belong to our Heavenly Father through Jesus, we are part of a family. Therefore, we have to recognize each other as children and how we got there in Christ. Now, I want you to think about a couple of other qualities that go along with this. You remember we mentioned all these qualities about simplicity and humility and so forth, and they represent sort of the individual aspect of being a child. But think about a couple of others and others that go along with this. Is that when you're a child, you also recognize that you are not independent, that you are part of a family arrangement, and that you came into this world by being begotten eventually and coming to know that all of your fellow children are also came into this arrangement by the same way, by your parents. And so you recognize you don't exist by yourself. And then there's the aspect of how we each perceive each other as children. And this, again, comes from the natural qualities of being a child or being with a child, is that everybody has an instinct to protect a child. When you see a child in danger, what is your instinct? To set that situation right, to protect the child. This message goes along with Jesus' message regarding individual childlikeness, but recognizing the fact that we are all part of a family of children, all with the same Father. And so I'm going to call it a father now, a family now. We made the point before that we are to be a child, that is, in attitude and in mindset to our Heavenly Father. But along with that, it does not stand alone. It's also that we are fellow children amongst all of our brethren, that we don't stand alone, that we are part of a family. And that has to be recognized, and I believe that was part of Jesus' message, and it makes a more complete picture. Now, does anybody see in this simple arrangement, two-step arrangement, a parallel from any other scriptural principle that you are aware of? Be a child to your father, be a fellow child to your brethren. Well, this just occurred to me just recently that I believe there is a parallel, and I wanted to mention it to you, and it's this. See, in God's family, which will include everything in heaven and everybody on earth, is going to have a great commandment by which to live on everlastingly. And it's simply that great commandment that was summarized by our Lord in Matthew 22, 37 through 39, paraphrased here, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, thy soul, etc. And another commandment just like it is, love thy neighbor as thyself. He mentioned those both because they do not stand alone. Neither one of them is an entity unto itself. The laws have to go together. We look to God upward, see him as our Father, knowing that he wants us to live as a family. And so this childlikeness thing recognizes this same law behind this, I believe. And that is why it is important, I think, to see this parallel, which will carry over to the human race in due time in the kingdom. Now, 1 John 3:1 says, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him." There's a certain sadness about this, because all of our joy of being of this family recognizes this arrangement, that we were begotten into this family by our Heavenly Father, and all the hopes of the future that come out of it, and the hopes and the pleasures that we have in our arrangement now. But it's still incomplete. We are not a complete family yet, nor is the world even begun to become into this arrangement of being in a family, recognizing this same two parts of the great commandment. So, but we know they are to become. So they don't know the Father. So how can they be childlike in the true higher sense? So we really cannot blame the world for not being childlike. This text says why. It's because the world doesn't know us, and it didn't know him. That gives a simple reason why the world is not childlike right now. They don't know. They don't know the things that we're just talking about by the simple illustration that our Lord gave there in Matthew 18. But they will. Now, Ecclesiastes 12:1, Solomon was a very wise man, and he received his wisdom from God himself. And he says a principle, a very important principle in regards to what we know by nature. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, "Remember now thy Creator in thy days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." He's saying here, I think, what we know by nature. It's easier to seek after God in a childlike manner while we possess those qualities naturally. It is just easier to come to God because we are more childlike and we can absorb things and we want to know more, and or we feel comfort in our family arrangement. And I just want to be a part of this, and I have to be a child to do it. It's so much easier to do it when you're young. Have you noticed when you get old, it's harder to do that? I don't know if anybody else has realized that. I think we all. So when we get old, it's not so easy. This is what Solomon was saying. Pretty wise, huh? Consider the fact that we desire this family-like atmosphere throughout all the earth, spiritual and natural. And we, as the children of God, as his closest family, are going to be personally involved in bringing the world of mankind into this childlike attitude so that they can recognize the Father and all their family. And they're going to come into that arrangement in various levels of attitude, right, and heart condition, in regards to being childlike and being to accept all these things that we're talking about. And, you know, it's going to be a work for the world. Our labors will be done, but then the earth's work will begin to that transformation process. If you and I are going to be responsible personally for bringing the earth into this relationship, who would we want to deal with? Would we want to? We're going to probably have to deal with both ends of the extreme. But I'd like to have a poem read now. This poem is entitled "My Childhood God," and it was written by Robert Wilden William Service. And to introduce this, I'd like you to think of this. They will be getting to know the God they never knew and his family. And they'll come into that, like I say, with varying attitudes. Now, I think this poem is written by someone with a very honest heart. And I want you to listen to what this person says. This is a person from the world. But listen to what he says, because I think he expresses the conditions Solomon spoke of in Ecclesiastes 12:1. Like, You know, it's easier to accept God when you're young. But think about that. And so, and I want you to notice, too, what he says in the end. But for right now, let's have this poem read.
When I was small, the Lord appeared unto my mental eye, a gentle giant with a beard who homed up in the sky. But soon that vasty vision blurred and faded in the end, till God is just another word I cannot comprehend. I envy those of simple faith who bend the votive knee, who do not doubt divinely death will set their spirits free. Oh, could I be like you and you, sweet souls who scan this line, and by dim altar worship too a deity divine. Alas, mid passions that appall, I ask with bitter woe, is God responsible for all our horror here below? He made the hero and the saint, but did he also make the cannibal in battle paint, the shark and rattlesnake? If I believe in God, I should believe in Satan too, the one the source of all our good, the other of our rue. Oh, could I second childhood gain, for then it might be I once more would see that vision plain, fond father in the sky.
If you wanted to deal with someone on the earth and bring them to God, personally, I would like them to have this attitude. Did you notice what he says here at the end? Oh, could I second childhood gain? He wants to go back to being a child so he can see the Father again and have a feeling for who that is and what it is. So he's asking, I'd like a second chance at this. Is he going to get his wish? Every human being is going to get their wish. They're going to get a second chance at being a child. And then they'll see that vision plain. Fond father in the sky. They'll see God with their mental vision. Not literally. But they will see and know the Father. Eventually, they will be folded into this family on the earth. With the same Father we have right now. We are very privileged. And this will come. Psalm 36, 7 and 9 reads, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. Thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. They will get every good thing that God has promised them. And they will want it. Once they get a taste for how good God is, which they do not know now because they don't know God, they will want more of it and they will give all they can drink. And when that happens and all of the world is part of, folded into this family, then it shall be like it says in 1 Corinthians 15:28, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that puts all things under him, that God may be all in all. All will recognize him as the Father and owe their existence and their life, eternal life, and having come into it through our Lord Jesus, his only begotten Son. And then it will be that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Brethren, let us strive to be childlike and remember who we are to be children to and through who we came to be this way. That is, our Lord Jesus. Amen.